Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we begin the broadcast with an intoxicating insight into the book, Follow Me. And I'm going to read just a few paragraphs. And this is from the introduction by Francis Chan. I think it's powerful. He starts out saying that the church began in Acts 2 when 3,000 people were converted. By AD 100, estimates claim 25,000 followers. But catch this, by AD 350, there are over 30 million followers. So the question is, how could the church grow at this incredible rate, especially under persecution? Well, the early followers saw their obligation to be reproducing disciple makers, and we see that same mindset with the church in China. So we shouldn't be surprised to learn that the results are likewise the same. China claimed 1 million followers in 1950. In 1992, there are, according to state statistical estimates, some 75 million Christians. So Francis Chan asks, is it so impossible to believe that Christians could have this same disciple-making mindset and experience the same type of revival here in America? Well, ultimately, it doesn't matter if you like this strategy or not. We don't have an option. That is the point of a command. You take a big chance if you ignore an assignment given to you from your boss at work. Most of us would never even consider it. How can we ignore the King of the universe who will one day return as judge? Well, the command can feel overwhelming. And many already live busy lives and at times feel like they're on the brink of meltdown. How could Jesus, who said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," throw such an enormous burden upon us? The answer is to consider who you are yoked or joined together with. Picture the imagery of two oxen placed under one yoke. Now, picture yourself yoked with Jesus. Who wouldn't want that? Isn't this more of an honor than a burden? Jesus ends up his command by comforting us, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He promises to accompany his workers until his work is done. This is what gives us peace, confidence, and even anticipation. Now, the point being made here by Francis Chan is that in New Testament Christianity, a few scared, scattered disciples turned an empire upside down because they were reproducing disciple makers. Then he's saying the same thing can be said in our epoch of time when we look at the persecuted church in various parts of the world, like China. It is growing with vast rapidity. And then, of course, he's pointing back to us in America. What should we be doing? Should we be burdened with the cares of this world, or should we yoke ourselves with Jesus in becoming reproducing disciple makers? And of course, that leads back to exactly what we are doing at the Christian Research Institute. We are equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. In other words, so that the body of Christ can produce reproducing disciple makers. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Ray. He's in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hank. Question for you. In Revelation, it states that the enemy is sealed up for the 1,000 years, and then he's released for a short time. And I was wondering if you could explain to me what that is referring to.
Yeah, you have to look at the overall context of Revelation chapter 20 and remember that Christ appeared that he might destroy the works of the devil. We see that in the New Testament passage, 1 John chapter 3. And of course, the Lord began binding the strong man during his earthly ministry, and he completed that mission, and he is now plundering Satan's house and carrying off his property. You see that in passages like Matthew chapter 12. Or if you look at the passage that is so powerful in the Gospel of Luke, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So Satan has fallen with great force from his position of power. And Jesus himself is the one who broke Satan's power. And he broke Satan's power through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension, and particularly in the context of the book of Revelation, through his coming in judgment on the beast and the false prophet, who are now in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. But in Revelation chapter 20, you realize that Satan himself is not in that fiery lake of burning sulfur, but one day he will be, and that's what ultimately John is pointing to. With a powerful passion in this passage, he is communicating that though Satan has been bound, though his work has been curtailed by the spreading of the gospel, that mission is not ultimately complete until Jesus appears a second time. And then he forever dispenses with sin and Satan. And then there's the ushering in of the eschaton, which has been initiated but hasn't been yet consummated. So there's a theological point in the millennium, and that is to demonstrate the triumph of the martyrs, and also to underscore then in the end that their triumph is found in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and it's not one that evil can ever again reverse, because God has the last word over good and evil. And even though the devil is given a last chance to deceive the nations, it's like a literary bookend. It's saying he rises up against God at the end, but the power of God quells the power of the devil, and the problem of Satan and sin is forever resolved. So in the story, we now have not only the beast and the false prophet, but we have Satan, who will forever be resigned to the lake of burning sulfur. That's not a present reality, by the way, because the lake of burning sulfur is not even a present reality today. It is true that people are in torment in Hades, but in the end, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. We read that in the conclusion of Revelation chapter 20, and then John says that is the second death. So often today we talk about the devil, and we sort of picture him as a caretaker in hell. This passage explodes the myth and says, no, ultimately, though in his last-ditch efforts, so to speak, against the gospel, he is defeated, he will then be thrown into the lake of fire, and that is yet a future reality, not a present reality.
Okay, so the very end of it where it mentions that he will gather the nations together and then they will be destroyed, it doesn't give you much detail, that's still yet to come.
Well, yes, because Satan is not yet in the burning lake of sulfur or in the everlasting flames of fire or in blackest darkness forever, using the various metaphors of Scripture. That is yet a future issue. And this is something I stress on the Bible Answer Man broadcast all the time. What do we look forward to? Well, we look forward to the time that the problem of Satan is fully and finally destroyed. Jesus Christ, in the inauguration of the kingdom, broke the power of Satan. But that is not fully consummated until the kingdom is fully consummated. Then the power of sin and Satan will be fully and finally destroyed, and then we will have the eschaton in reality. Then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Okay, so the very final battle, that could be representing Armageddon, the last battle?
Well, not in the story of Revelation. It is the story that you have at the end of the book of Revelation, which is given to you throughout all the passages of Scripture, which is even as you read what's happening to the church at Rome or the church at Corinth or the seven churches in the province of Asia, as in Revelation, while you're dealing with things that are happening in the present milieu, this is written to first century believers in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, the picture is always ultimately transferred from this world to the new world, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. So the picture is always at the end, whether it's one of the Gospels, whether it's one of the epistles, or whether it's the Apocalypse, the story always gets back to eternal verities. There is going to be a time where the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, where the power of Satan and sin is forever destroyed. That in no way minimizes the power of the story of Revelation, which has to do ultimately what's going to happen in that milieu when the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
You got it. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Con, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Con.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Quick question, kind of a two-part question.
Sure.
Do you believe there is an Antichrist coming?
Well, I think that for centuries, Christians have speculated about the identity of an Antichrist, and they have, in the process, tarnished the reputation of princes and popes and presidents, and rather than join sensationalistic, pin the tail on the Antichrist sophistry, we as Christians need only go to Scripture to find that answer. When the Apostle John exposed the identity of Antichrist, he said, "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." And in that sense, we can say that not only individuals, but institutions and ideologies can very well be called Antichrist, whether we're talking about evolutionism or communism or some man who makes a practice institutionally of denying that Christ has come in the flesh.
But also there is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
It says that the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work, and the only, he who is not restrained will do so until he is taken out of the way.
Right.
To me, that's the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way?
No, exactly, and during the rapture, because I believe there's going to be a rapture.
So you believe the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the way?
Out of
the world?
Yeah, when the rapture happens, and then I believe the Holy Spirit is the one restraining the Antichrist. Until that moment, until the trumpet sounds.
Okay, but now you're talking about the man of sin.
Yeah.
Or the beast,
right.
And I would say that the man of sin or the beast could be called Antichrist, but as I've very clearly delineated in other conversations on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I don't think that either John or Paul would delude their audiences, and they make clear that with wisdom and understanding, they're able to identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. And therefore, the beast that they're discussing is not a 21st century beast. It's very important to recognize that while all of the Bible was written for us, none of the Bible was written to us. By the way, in his second epistle, John gives a warning. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And of course, John taught that all who deny the incarnation, the messianic role, the deity of Jesus Christ, are instances of Antichrist. And therefore, Antichrist refers not only to the apostasy of individuals, but to the apostasy of institutions and ideologies as well. We can say, therefore, that modern-day cults and world religions that deny Jesus Christ are Antichrist. And then in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned, John identifies both an individual and an institution that represent the ultimate personification of evil, the archetypal Antichrist. And he refers to that archetypal Antichrist as a beast who deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And he draws on Daniel's apocalyptic depiction of evil world powers and rightly then describes an emperor in his own epoch of time who arrogantly sets himself and his empire against God, violently persecutes the saints, and grossly violates the commandments through a long litany of disgusting demonstrations of depravity, not the least of which was his demand to be worshipped as Lord and God. And I would also say, if the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, how possibly can people come to faith in Christ? Since Paul says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So I'd be very careful with your interpretation of Scripture. Let's go back to the phone line. We'll talk next to Ron. He's in Mississippi. Hi, Ron.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I do very well, I guess. I have a simple question compared to what I've been listening to. During the rapture, when the Lord, it says two men will be working together in the field, and one man will disappear and one man will stay, is the Lord picking the, is he taking the Christian man or the non-believer? Which one is he leaving?
Well, I think the passage that you're referring to doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. Again, if you look at that passage, what's going on is that Jesus Christ himself is saying, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And he's talking about the coming of the Son of Man in judgment, obviously, in response to the questions that his disciples ask him. And then he says, for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Obviously, Jesus is saying that they were taken in judgment. And then he says, that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, i.e. taken in judgment, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, again taken in judgment, the other left. So one would not want to use this passage as a rapture passage or to support the idea of a pre-tribulational rapture.
So you're saying, my original question was, who's going to be taken, the Christian or...
And my point here is that Jesus is saying, my opinion doesn't matter, but Jesus is saying the one taken is the one taken in judgment.
Okay, I have another quick question.
Yep.
I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's about being a preacher or being a deacon. Says a man of one wife. Does that mean, I've asked me, preachers and different people around where I am, does that mean that for life or just since you became a Christian?
Well, I think what's important is that you don't engage in polygamy and that you're devoted to your wife. And certainly it's critical to recognize that God does restore all things. When you become a believer, the old has gone, the new has come. When you're in Satan's kingdom, you follow the principles of Satan's kingdom. When you become a believer, you follow the principles of God's kingdom. And that is particularly important for elders and deacons. Those who are placed in positions of authority within the church ought to practice the principles that God sets forth. When Moses didn't do it, even with respect to circumcision, obviously, God was very angry. The same thing would be true with respect not only to Old Testament prophets, but New Testament apostles and those who serve in positions of significance within the context of the church.
Okay. I had a friend call me, and he's a new Christian, and he asked me, and I had been asking around trying to get him an answer. So,
well, I'm glad you called.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kenny, listening in Missouri. Hi, Kenny.
Hello. I've got a question. There's something about a medical chip going to be put into medical patients, and then everybody living in America will be required to wear these chips. I just wanted to know what your take on that was, if it was reliable information.
Well, I don't know whether it is reliable information, but I don't know what that has to do in terms of a worry. Perhaps as a result of that, you can be tracked and your privacy can be invaded in some way that's not compatible with our American belief system and structure. But from a biblical standpoint, there's no problem whatsoever because we are already marked. We are marked by the Lamb. And if we're marked by the Lamb, everybody can identify us as to whom we belong to by what we do and by our worldview.
Yeah, when I read the Bible on that in Revelation, when I read the Mark of the Beast, I understood it as it was a physical mark, an implant in the back of the hand or the forehead.
No, not at all. The mark of the beast biblically is a parody of the mark of the lamb. So just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000, which is the full complement of God's people that you read about in Revelation chapter 14, just as that symbolizes identity with the lamb, in the same way the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. So when Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he's going to write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and that he'll write on him as well my new name, well, we don't think that Jesus Christ is going to write all over us. And not only that, but biblically, and we should not use newspaper eschatology, we should interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. Biblically, the forehead and the hands are symbols of a person's belief and behavior. You see that in passages like Exodus 13 or Deuteronomy 6 or Ezekiel 9. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. So there should be no mystery whatsoever. No one has to wonder whether you're a follower of Christ. You're going to tell them.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.